Before I begin this morning, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Shannon for the invitation to share in worship leadership this morning. It's always good to be here and to see your faces that I have come to know over the last several years. Thank you, St. John's. Pray with me, please. Loving and gracious God, we feel your presence in this place, and we ask you to guide our thoughts. Open our hearts, open our minds, and give us an openness to the wisdom found in and through your word. May the words that are spoken today and the words that are heard be your words and not our own. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At an earlier time in my life, I attempted to be a runner, or a person who enjoyed running. I spent about 20 years in that attempt. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I was not a runner for 20 years, but over the course of a 20-year span, I would try every 2-4 years, I think I'll run. And I never was able to accomplish more than, say, 3 miles at a time. I never experienced that runner's euphoria that you read about. And I never came in from any attempt thinking, gee, I can't wait until the next time I'm able to get out there and run. After 6 or 8 attempts over a 20-year period, I was finally able to admit to myself, I am not a runner. I do not have the endurance or the stamina, nor did I have the discipline to try to make that happen. When I was finally able to admit to myself that I am not a runner, I felt liberated. And it was great to acknowledge to myself, I enjoy race walking, but I am not a runner. Like so many things, as the years have gone by, I've been able to say to personal trainers or to exercise instructors when they say, let's go outside and jog. I'll be glad to go outside and race walk, but I am not a runner. It's occurred to me over time that there are people who experience church in much the same way that I experienced running. A person has their heart set to enter a church, maybe for the first time in a long time, or maybe for the first time ever, and possibly they do a little research or not, and they attend a particular church service on a Sunday morning. The sermon falls flat. They're not welcomed by the other parishioners because they're busy having conversations with their friends. The liturgy is unfamiliar, and they leave the building feeling downtrodden, discouraged, and perplexed about their friends who find church so fulfilling. This is not something new. It's never been easy to constantly be encouraged by Christianity. This is also the case, and probably much more so, with the early Christians, which is why the scriptures began reflecting on the Old Testament scriptures. If we pause for a moment and think about watching David, the teenager dressed in a simple tunic, carrying a sling and a pouch full of stones as he approached the 9-foot giant Goliath, who is dressed in full armor, carrying swords, spears, and a javelin, he must have felt defeated before anything began. Imagine young Daniel being thrown into a den of lions. How could that be a successful encounter? Yet he came out unharmed. And imagine Lazarus in the story Katie read this morning, pronounced dead and laid to rest in the tomb, Jesus arrives, finds the tomb, and tells Lazarus to get up. And he does. These are unimaginable events for us. They were never anticipated, and they're events that occurred only because of God. The Bible is filled with stories of faith, and it's appropriate that the text today likens our faith journey with running a race. Today's text opens in a manner that explores the ambiguity of faith. The opening of the additional stories with amazing results as the writer of Hebrews references the parting of the Red Sea, the crumbling of the walls of Jericho, Rahab being cared for, then a string of names and references that model people of faith, referencing the achievements attributed to faithful people. Achievements such as conquering kingdoms, administering justice, obtaining promises, shutting the mouths of lions, quenching raging fires, escaping the edge of the sword, winning strength through weakness, becoming mighty in war, and putting foreign armies to flight. All of these are historical references of people who lived by faith. Their accomplishments came about through their faith. But back to the perseverance of a race, we, through the scriptures, are being called to be more faithful, to persevere, to run the race. Not the run that I attempted, but the race of a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout time, there have always been people of great faith, and one of the ways we embrace the promise of faith is to reach back, just as the scripture is telling the Hebrew people to do, to reach back to our ancient ancestors, who are strangers to us, but very present and alive to us in the form of hope. The thing that has helped God's people with discouragement since the beginning of time is the sure and certain knowledge that we are never alone. We follow a God who does not abandon us in times of trouble. And when we follow Jesus, keep our focus on Jesus, we're able to see joy in life despite our hard times and our discouragements. We're all blessed with varying degrees of imagination, and at times we come up with something that seems completely out of the box and a crazy thought about our own lives, things that we would like to change, or things in the church we would like to change, or things at home that we can see differently. To have imagination, faith is a very helpful tool. We have to have faith in God and in ourselves to even begin to think about what we imagine coming to fruition. Is it more difficult to explore your imagination or to explore the possibilities of faith that God can be depended on to bring certain things to reality? This is not about having faith in ourselves, but relying on God. This text never tells us, nor will you find it anywhere in the Bible, that we will not have to endure pain and suffering. There will always be pain and suffering, but our faith in God is what will sustain us during the times of pain and suffering. We're not promised exemptions from situations. We're not promised prosperity, nor automatic blessings given to anyone who is good or who believes. We're told to persevere in our faith and to be optimistic about our future. The reason we can be optimistic about our future is because we look at what God has done in the past. It is His perseverance, the spiritual practice of prayer, worship, and trust in God that allows us to be faithful. Our lives should be focused on staying faithful to God, who is always, always, always faithful to us. This is about perseverance, laying aside our busyness, our stresses, our disagreements, our need for instant gratification, our resentments, our hunger for earthly things, to persevere with a faithfulness to God. For many people in today's world, it's not easy being a Christian, and it seems it would be really difficult to become a Christian if you didn't have that background. It can be challenging in a social setting to define one's beliefs or faith in God. Even relatives sometimes may look at us with skepticism. There are those who wonder why we are willing to give up earthly goods for the sake of something or someone that is difficult to see or understand. This text sets forth a vision realizing a faithful life that may be challenging, but God's people can always trust their King. Faith allows one to see beyond the daily problems of life and to see what God is doing in our midst. We can see what God has done throughout the ages, and we can also see the future joy God has in store for us. The author of Hebrews puts it, they were commended for their faith. They did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. God wants us to depend on God. God stayed faithful to our ancestors and will be faithful to us. So my question for you today is, what is your faith story? What is it that you believe? When I ask you that question, I don't mean your faith journey. I mean your faith statement. What do you believe? Over the years of teaching confirmation class, one of the assignments I always gave to the 7th and 8th grade students was to write their own personal faith statement. What does that look like? Over the next number of days, I encourage you to think hard about it. What is it that you believe? I encourage you to be brave and even write it down. I would tell the confirmation classes to use the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed as a guide, but to make it your own. Write it down, and after some period of time, say a couple of years, come back to it. It will have changed because the race is not over. Persevere, Christian people. Jesus Christ is named as the perfecter of our faith. So we have a good coach. Actually, we have the best coach. And in closing, I want you to think about Jesus' faith. As Jesus gathered with the disciples on the night of his arrest, the gospel description of Jesus have him with humbled confidence. Then he moved from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, God, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Do you think Jesus thought about turning back? Do you think he thought about turning away from the horrific experience he was about to encounter? Of course he did. He was a human being. But Jesus persevered and finished the race, Jesus was crucified, and it was all over, so everyone thought. But God, who is faithful and true, turned the world upside down, inside out. Through Christ's resurrection, the power of death was taken away. God gave to Jesus and gives to all of us the hope and the promise of eternal life. Life without end and hope for tomorrow. Run the race. Fight the fight. Persevere, Christian people. The race is not over. To God be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.